point, the legislature is going to essentially argue two things. First, that the district court judge in Ramsey County got it right, and that more specifically, that what the judge said is that the governor may not use his line item veto as a way to shut down the legislature and to prevent another constitutionally created office, constitutionally created body from being able to perform its duties. And so I think that's going to be the core argument where the attorneys representing the legislature will reiterate that point. For the governor, I think the governor's attorney, Sam Hansen, former Minnesota Supreme Court Justice, has a tougher battle. As I read through his briefs, the first thing he's going to argue is that, in fact, the governor's line item veto can be used without limitation, and therefore the governor was perfectly within his authority to line item veto what the legislature did in terms of line item veto out the legislature in terms of its funding.
Now, that's the argument he made in front of the district court judge, right?
Exactly, making the same argument, but the nuance now that the governor is making is to claim to say that the court should not even hear this case, that in fact this is what's called a political question and that the Supreme Court should throw out the lower court decision and just let the governor and the legislature fight this out. And so what the governor's attorney is arguing here is that the court has no jurisdiction and that Ramsey County District Court had no jurisdiction to hear the case. And that becomes, I think, the new wrinkle in the matter here, where I think what the governor is hoping is that if the court says, yeah, we don't want to get in the middle of this, it was wrong for Ramsey County Court to get in the middle of this, we're going to let you and the legislature sort it out. That, I think, is becoming the new argument that the governor is trying to make.
And what do you think the chances are of that argument getting some traction with the justices?
I think they'll listen to it. I think they'll entertain it. But at the end of the day, I think they will reject it, partly because of the fact that, again, the precedents in Minnesota regarding separation of powers are pretty significant. And if they were to take the position that the governor is advocating, it puts the governor in a situation where he has essentially shut down the legislature and there is no opportunity really for the legislature and the governor to bargain because the governor has put the legislature out of business.
Let's back off of this a little bit because the legal battle has somewhat obscured the original issues that brought us to this juncture
right.
Even.
Yeah, I think the original issues underlying it are disagreements between the governor and the legislature over funding of several different programs, and the governor in his line item veto message to the legislature indicated to him that he was doing this line item veto as a way of bringing the legislature back to the table regarding those matters. And so underlying this are some policy disputes over funding and taxation that have now been overshadowed by a much more significant institutional constitutional battle between the governor and the legislature.
And those issues specifically that brought them to this juncture was the governor wanted to reopen the issues, in other words, try to force Republicans in the Minnesota House and Senate back to the negotiating table on three tax cuts that had just been implemented and agreed upon, and also on the issue of immigrant driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants or illegal aliens, to use not a politically a less politically correct term, and also the issue the changes to teacher licensure laws.
Correct.
Yeah. So let's, and you and I both know the answer to this, Professor. But for the folks who have, you know, the forest for the trees, sometimes we're getting that in that position, right, with all this legal wrangling. If, in fact, the Minnesota Supreme Court upholds the lower court ruling, as you're predicting, let's take that scenario first, then what happens? The Republicans don't have any reason to come back to the table, right?
They have no reason to come back to the table. In many ways, the status quo continues the way it is in terms of how the legislative session ended or special session ended. But more importantly, though, if the Supreme Court upholds the lower court, this, I think, dramatically weakens Dayton in the short term, in the last year of his term, but also constitutionally weakens the office of the governor in Minnesota. And I think that's the greater implication here, is that It will show that, in fact, there are some clear limits to the line item veto. And I think this shifts the balance of power relatively between the governor and the legislature. I think the other thing that happens, no matter what happens in the situation here, two institutions come out winners. The court's going to be a winner no matter what, because it gets to decide who between the legislature and the governor wins. And then two, depending on how the Supreme Court rules, either the governor wins or the legislature wins, and that has implications, again, constitutionally beyond Governor Dayton.
You make a very profound statement there, that we are talking fundamentally about a balance of power issue. Let me flip this the other way. Let's say that our predictions are wrong and that the high court does reverse the lower court's ruling and finds in favor of the governor. How does that shift the balance of power from this point forward?
That dramatically at that point works in favor of the governor and gives the governor, whether this one or future governor, incredible amount of power within the state, because all the governor has to do now is threaten to say that if you don't agree with what I want to do, I'm going to basically X out your funding and eliminate the legislature from being able to have funding or exist until they come to my terms. That would be a major, major shift in political power in Minnesota that would work towards the benefit of the governor. I find that scenario unlikely. I find somewhat possible the idea where the court might say that this is a political question, you two folks try to work it out, but even then I don't think it's a likely scenario or high probability, simply because that would put the governor in the position of being able to say to the legislature, do my bidding or I'm not going to fund you at all.
Yeah, and anytime there's a budget session, of course, that's at least every other year, and sometimes more often than that if you have forecasts, economic forecasts that dictate an adjustment because of, say, a budget deficit or a surplus. But it seems then as if the legislature, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm overstating this, but it seems that if the governor were to be allowed to do these kinds of line item vetoes for whatever reason, to even to shut down the legislature, that the legislature would have virtually no power in this.
Yeah, the legislature would be powerless. They would have no ability to be able to defend themselves. And that's where they are at this point right now, is the fact that they have the temporary funding as agreed to or stipulated by the district court judge allows them to do some things. But given the fact that if this decision were to go in favor of the governor, the legislature would have no funding. It could potentially every budget year be threatened with being put out of existence in terms of if it didn't do what the governor said. It would dramatically weaken as an institution and really undermine, I think, the basic constitutional principles of the Minnesota Constitution, which said that there are three branches of government and separation of powers is supposed to respect the ability of each branch to perform its functions.
Let me take it, and your comments, Professor, suggest a possible third scenario, and you might dismiss this after I ask the question, but I will ask it anyway. And it's essentially relating to the governor's argument that the governor's attorney's argument before the high court that we're anticipating, that the court shouldn't hear the case because it's a political decision. They need to stay out of it. What do you think the chances are? And the district court judge kind of suggested this route, but it didn't really happen. What do you think the chances are of the Minnesota Supreme Court saying, okay, governor and legislature, we're not going to rule on this yet, and you guys go back to the table, and by such and such a time, we want to see what you come up with? Or does that are both sides just so dug in that then they just wait it out and the high court has to rule anyway?
Yeah, I think it's delaying the inevitability. Plus, not only would that be delaying the inevitability with the two branches, legislature and the governor, firmly entrenched, but given the fact there's only temporary funding available to the legislature, and given the fact that the legislature is supposed to reconvene, next year, it puts the legislature, I think, at a dramatic disadvantage in terms of it being able to act, and therefore I would find it, again, pretty unlikely that would be the solution that the Supreme Court would come up with.